How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. These are powerful words. Note, my heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Our heart, our flesh, the very core of our being, the whole of our nature is called to sing forth praises to Almighty God. Not just our lips, not just our minds, but our whole being, our flesh, our heart, sings praises to God. Do we sing praises to Almighty God? So often we act as if our religious life is a drudgery, that it's hard, that it's difficult. And I know it's not easy. Getting up on Sunday morning isn't fun. I mean, come on. It was a Last Supper, not a prayer breakfast. I mean, come on. I would rather go to church at night, wouldn't you, than getting up early in the morning? Sometimes I don't want to get out of bed. That alarm goes off. I say, oh, it must be going off at 4 o'clock in the morning. Must be. Nope. 6 o'clock, time to get up. We treat it as if it's a drudgery. We act as if it's hard. We act as if God is demanding a great deal from us to rip us out of bed, out of that warm, soft, wonderful pillow. Oh. No, my brothers and sisters, it's not hard. It's not a drudgery. It's a calling to rejoice, to give thanks and praise to God. Our flesh, our heart, our whole being is called to sing for joy to the living God, to dance and sing and praise. Last Sunday was a joy. We were dancing around the worship center, praising Almighty God. We don't dance anymore. Or if we do, they think we're crazy. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we're called to give thanks and praise to God with our flesh, with our heart, with all of our being. Not reserved, not warm. We act as if we're going, supposed to go around like they did in Monty Python. P-A-A-S-U Domine. No. No. We're called to give praise to God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise, forever singing your praise, always singing your praise. Happy are those who dwell in your home, Almighty God, singing praises always to you. And then that word, Selah, it's not a name, it's a proclamation. Think of that. Wow! Golly! Happy are those who reside, who live, who dwell in God's house. The phrasing here, God takes care of the sparrow and the swallow, and God does. As Jesus knew very well in his own sermon, which he pulled from this passage, God takes care of the sparrow. It's not just the song, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. It's not just a song, it's an affirmation of faith. We're called to sing and give thanks and praise to God and dwell at the holy altar of God. Just as God takes care of the sparrow, so also God cares for us. Are we happy when we enter into worship? Do we always sing God's praises? Or have we become weighted down with the business of the church? The meetings, the committees, the councils, the business of the church. Has the business of the church become weighty to us, dragging us down? No. We're called to celebrate and give thanks and praise to God. Happy are those whose strength is in you. Happy are those who dwell in God's house and whose strength is in God, in whose hearts are the highways to Zion. Where is your strength? Is it seated in yourself? Is it rooted in your own abilities, in your own understanding, in your own power, in your own will? Is your strength dependent upon you, yourself, or upon God? The psalmist knew that we can't base our strength, root our strength, grow our strength, enable our strength. We can't live by ourselves. That our strength can only come, our true strength, our eternal strength, the strength that will see us through this life and into the next, that true divine strength comes only from God. The psalmist knew that. Happy are those, rejoicing are those, ecstatic are those whose strength is in you, God, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, who desire to approach the holy city of God, the mountain of God, the temple of God, the worship of God, those who have in their heart the desire to go the way God calls them to go. Happy are they. Ecstatic and joyful are they, for they find their strength in God. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. We have here a reminder that even when we have our strength in God, even when our hearts follow the highway to Zion, even when we are on the road to glory, even when we have our strength in God and we are in the house of God, worshiping God, celebrating God's presence, kneeling at the altar in prayer, even when we have our focus on God, still we can go through valleys of Baca. That word is translated in our Psalter as valleys of tears. The word Baca in Hebrew means weeping, crying, pain. It also means parched, dry, like a desert. The valley of Baca was an approach route to the city of Jerusalem. And as you went through it, you were going through some of the most desert environment in the region. It's between Jerusalem and the Jordan River, in the middle of the desert wasteland. There's no water there. There are no springs there. There are no pools there. There's nothing. When it rains, the rain evaporates before it hits the ground. The dust blows. The skin becomes dry. The throat dries up. The image here is clear. Even when our strength is in God, even when we're going the way God calls us to go, up to Zion through the valley of Baca, my friends, we end up at times in rough patches. We end up in valleys of tears and weeping. It's not always easy. We may be doing everything right, and it seems like everything has gone terribly wrong. And we're in a valley of weeping, a valley of tears, a valley of dryness, parchedness. We're seeking God. We have faith in God. We're trusting in God, and yet we're going through a valley of tears. And note it says, as they go through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears. So frequently we are tempted, when we hit a rough spot, when we hit a difficult point in our life, when we hit a bump in the road, we thought we were doing the right thing, we thought we were doing good, we thought we were following God, we thought we were following God's will, and suddenly we have a flat tire on our spiritual car, and then we stop. In the middle of the valley of tears, in the middle of the valley of Becca, we stop. And don't move. We stop and don't go on. If your strength is in God, if your focus is on God, then when you hit the bump in the road in the valley of Becca, you'll go through the valley. Note, you're not told you don't have to go through the valley. You're not told you get to go around the valley. You're not told you get to bypass the valley. No, you go through the valley. Through it. You don't stop in it. You keep going through it. And it says, those, as they go through the valley of Becca, those who go through it, make it a place of springs. They make it a place of springs because of their faith, because of God's grace powering them, because their strength is in God, because their heart's on the highway to Zion. They're going through the valley because of their faith, even in the midst of the difficult times. They make it a place of springs. They bring water. I have been in some desperate, parched valleys in my life where I've stumbled and come to a stop and I'm thirsting to death. I'm not going through it. I'm sitting in it. And someone else comes along. They're in the valley too, but they're going through it. And they pick me up and help me along the way. And in so doing, they make it a place of springs. My fellow brothers and sisters in the valley bring nourishing spring water, spiritual water to me. If we keep moving, if we keep going, if we keep moving through the valley of tears, my brothers and sisters, we make it a place of springs. But that's not all. The early rain also covers it with pools. We may make it a place of springs, but God comes and brings God's grace to make it a place of pools. Not just a place to drink, but a place to bathe and be washed clean. In the valley of Becca, in the valley of tears, in the valley of pain, in the valley of weeping, in the valley of dryness, if we move forward and through it with faith, we make it a place of springs. It's still hard. We still got to go through it, but we make it livable. And then God's grace comes along and transforms it, changes it, makes it a place of pools where not only can we be watered, but we can be washed. It is a hard journey that we are given to take. It is a hard walk as Christians. It's not an easy life. We were promised a garden and we messed it up. So we have a difficult life to live. Sometimes we go through dry, weeping valleys. Those are our times to be challenged, to have faith, and to move through it. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. The active verbs must be noticed here. They go from strength to strength. They go. They don't sit there, pity me, pity me, pity me. They go from strength to strength. Not their strength, God's strength. To God's strength. They, in other words, grow in God's strength. This is the only place in the Hebrew Bible where going from strength to strength is mentioned. It's referenced in the New Testament several times. This is the only place it's found in the Hebrew Bible. And the idea is a clear one in this Hebrew poetry. You move forward. You keep going, even in the valley of tears. You make it a place of springs. God's grace is poured out into it, making it a place of pools, because you're going from strength, from God's strength, to strength, to God's strength. Always depending upon God, never depending upon yourself. Simply taking that first step of faith and trusting in God to see you through the valley. The God of gods, the only God, the heavenly host, the God of glory will be seen in Zion. You will make it to the holy city. You'll make it to the mount of God. You'll make it to the temple. You'll make it to worship. If you keep going through the valley, if you keep going from strength to strength. And when you do that, when you're willing to do that, when you're willing to keep going, even in the parched valley, from strength to strength, if you're willing to keep going, you then face this. From Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. It's exactly what we've been told to do here in Psalm 84. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ugh. Okay, that's way above my spiritual pay grade, friends. No, I don't want to stand up against the devil. I'd rather hide. I'll go over here and let somebody else. I'll let the bishop take care of the devil. I'll let the pastor take care of the devil. Yeah, right. I don't want to face the devil. But you don't have a choice. Because if you're going from strength to strength, if you're going through the valley of Baca and not stopping and not sitting down, if you're trusting in God and moving in faith and going through the valley, rejoicing along the way, even though it's dry and hard and there are tears, if you're going from strength to strength and it's God's strength you're depending upon, then guess what? You're going to face and have to stand up against the wiles, the craftiness, the evils of the devil. Oh, we like to poo-poo that concept, the devil, or depict him as being dressed in red tights with horns and a pitchfork. No, that's not the devil. That's not the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh. We don't fight against each other's friends. We don't fight against the people sitting next to us in the pews or the people three pews back. We don't fight against those who are in that other church down the road or in that other denomination over there. We don't fight against our sisters and brothers in Christ. We don't even fight against people who are not of the Christian faith. No, our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, not worldly political, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's the devil. That's Satan. Now, the Jews grew to understand who Satan was. They learned about Satan in Babylonian captivity. They discovered what a monster he is. My personal image of the devil is the alien from the Aliens movie with that double mouth that comes out and, you know, bites you. That's my mental image of the devil. Evil incarnate. The devil has many ways of going about his business. There's hatred and anger, oppression, racism, sexism, ageism, bigotry, exclusion, prejudice, denial. And then there's that sinister voice that sits on your shoulder or lurks in your heart and says, nah, don't bother telling others about Jesus. Be an undercover Christian. Be a pew potato. Don't make waves. Don't talk about Jesus at work. Certainly don't talk about Jesus at school. Don't express the love of God to those whom you meet. Be quiet about it. Don't let it enter the public place. Did you know that according to recent studies done of Methodist congregations, the average United Methodist invites someone to church once every 10 years. Oops. Or as was said in first service, ouch. Once every 10 years, the average Methodist invites someone to church. Once every 10 years. No wonder the United Methodist Church as a denomination is dying. If we're unwilling to invite our neighbors, if we're unwilling to invite our friends, our family, those we meet from day to day, those we work with, those we know down the street or across town, if we're unwilling to invite people to church, to come and to have a family in faith and introduce them to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if we are unwilling to invite people to church, we deserve to die. Ooh, I don't like that, Greg. Sorry. If we're not about making disciples for Jesus Christ, we've ought to pack up and go home. It's worse. Faith is lacking. The faith to go through the valley is lacking. The willingness to keep going in the difficult times is lacking. Last night, I was sitting in my chair in the living room, my laptop on my lap, on Facebook, looking at a United Methodist discussion group, a clergy discussion group. And in this clergy discussion group, they were having an argument over whether or not Jesus actually rose from the dead. And there were some there, more than I want to admit, who were saying, no, Jesus didn't rise from the dead. It's just a nice story. Yeah, we're in trouble. If we don't have faith, if we don't believe in the resurrected power of God in Jesus Christ our Lord that can bring life from death, then we're in trouble. No wonder we're sitting in the valley of tears. No wonder we're sitting in the valley of Baca. No wonder we're sitting and not moving and making it a place of springs and receiving the grace that brings pools. No wonder we're not going through from strength to strength. If we're afraid of facing the evil one, if we're afraid of proclaiming the gospel, if we're afraid of proclaiming our faith before others, no wonder we're sitting in the valley of Baca. My brothers and sisters, the calling is plain. The calling is clear. We are called to move through the valley. We're called to rejoice and give thanks and praise to God, dance in God's presence before the altar of the Lord, go through the difficult times and the parched valleys, go through them making springs and receiving God's pooling grace as we move on to Zion and then face and stand against the wiles of the devil. In 20 years of ministry, and more actually, in 2 decades of ministry, I've come to know for a fact that the devil is not just some myth or metaphor for evil. The devil's real. We face him every day, and we are called to stand in faith, rooted in the strength of God, and proclaim our faith before others. And in so doing, defeat the evil one. That's what we're called to do here as the church. That's what we're called to do as Christians, as members of the body of Christ. We are called to establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And in so doing, we strike down the evil one. Go through your valleys, my brothers and sisters. Don't stop and sit down. Go through your valleys. Go from strength to strength, making it a place of springs and receiving the pooling grace of God. Go through the valley of weeping and on out into Zion, and fear not the battle, the war against the evil one. For in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have the victory. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.